Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast, presented by Allied Home Security.
Texans training camp, Camp Caserio, day two, and the sun is coming up, the sprinklers are going, the lawn's getting mowed, and practice will be underway here in a little over 2 hours. Nick Caserio, Texans general manager, joins us at the bottom of the hour, live here out at Camp Caserio. Deshaun Watson was out here yesterday, and it was an awkward day, it was a strange day. Deshaun definitely did not look as plugged in body language-wise as he has during the previous four training camps when he was here. David Johnson, who's been a teammate of Deshaun Watson's for a little over a year now, was on In the Loop yesterday. John and Landry are going to have a player as they come off the field every day that we're out here at Camp Caserio. So be listening to see who they have today. But David Johnson, it was a good interview yesterday with David Johnson. They asked him, is it weird for you guys?
Yeah, it's weird, especially with him being such a dynamic player, playmaker for us. Everyone knows how good he is, and it's everyone handles their situation differently. So I can't say speak on it too much, but it is a little different. But football, you got to keep going.
All right, so that was him answering. Is it weird? A fairly forthcoming answer when you consider that the answers that the team brass who have answered Deshaun questions have been a lot. They've played it a lot closer to the vest. One more from David Johnson. John asked him, "Do you just want this all over with?"
Yeah, honestly, there's always been talks with Houston, with the trade last year, with COVID, with the coaching staff. I just want to play football and really focus on playing football and not too much on what's going on off the field, especially if it's not my if it's not something that's going on with me personally. That's Deshaun's business and what he's going through. So I don't want to, speak on that. I just want to really speak on what's going on with me,
right,
and everything going on with football in Houston this year.
Here's the irony of what David Johnson just said, and I admire David Johnson for giving such honest answers to both of those questions. The question was, do you just want this over with? And I think John was asking about the Deshaun Watson situation. David Johnson, I think probably wisely, took it to a broader picture. But when he said, with the coaching situation and with COVID, what he was saying was, it's always something since I got here. Here's the irony of the whole thing. The trade that brought David Johnson here is a big reason why there's been so much drama swirling around team.
I guess that's a
through no fault of his.
Through no fault of his, although remember he did have that tweet where he said you've got two of we tweeted at the Cardinals and said you've got two of
that was Lonnie Johnson.
Oh, Lonnie Johnson. That was what Lonnie did David Johnson. Johnson say?
David Johnson was just recruiting Chandler Jones.
Yeah. That's right. That's right. But I guess the irony of that would be that,
yeah, he's asking for another Arizona Texan trade when our history's not been all that good.
So you're right. You're right about that. A lot of people ask me, and understandably so, like, hey, wouldn't players be resentful of Deshaun about him asking out or wanting a trade? And I think that, for one, like, I don't like speaking for all NFL players because everybody's different. It's a cross-section like anything else in life. But in general, a lot of it just depends on who the guy is. Like, if Deshaun Watson were a guy with a horrible personality whose teammates didn't like him, then, yeah, they would definitely feel that way. They'd say, don't let the door hit you on the ass on the way out. When it's somebody who's popular and who, all allegations aside, off and away from the locker room, but inside the locker room, he's popular. It's not. It's just not like that. Everybody, like what David Johnson said there was true. You kind of just, whenever it becomes involved in somebody's contract situation, a holdout, anything else like that, you say, well, guy's got to take care of numero uno. He's going to take care of himself, and we'll deal with whatever happens after that. So it's, I guess, one thing that might maybe some people could relate to is when you're in high school and like one of your good players decides to go play for a private school or goes and transfers to a better school or something.
Yeah.
When I was in high school, that I got PO'd at that.
Yeah.
Sean Sanderson went to this Catholic high school, McQuaid. And I said, well, screw you. Good riddance.
Boy.
He did it for basketball. But then he's still one of my best friends from high school.
You would
I forgave
have a tough,
him
You'd have a tough time in today's high school environment.
Yeah.
Guys going to academies out of state. Actually, you'd probably be one of those guys. You were a good player.
I thought about transferring. I was going to go live with my brother in Clarion, Pennsylvania, because it was in Western PA football there.
Wow. Yeah. How might that have changed? Where would you have wound up, do you think? Penn State,
rehab.
Somewhere like that?
I can't be down there in Western PA.
I know.
They probably like kids into bars when they're 16.
True.
And stuff. Yeah. It would have been go live with my brother and his eight. My brother and his seven friends from the wrestling team that all use their stipends on like renting one trailer.
Where would you be? Dead?
Yeah, sleeping under the trailer.
Yeah.
My brother was taking the money my mom
That's
sent
funny.
Me.
Yeah. That's funny.
No, I don't know. I probably would have. I don't want to get into my personal high school history.
Yeah,
never mind.
All right. Payne and Pendergast with you.
That's a long story, Sean. Let me tell you about where it all... Really, we'd have to start with Jebediah Payne, who came over from England in 1732. Yeah.
Right.
I am going to stick with you as a subtopic here for a second. Randall Cobb, the deal got done for Randall Cobb yesterday. However, the foreshadowing for that deal came a couple days before that when Brandon Cooks tweeted basically that Randall Cobb will always be family, kind of a goodbye tweet for Randall Cobb. You asked him this question, I think, yesterday. I don't think we have the question in the cut, but you asked Brandon Cooks if he had been sitting on the Randall Cobb news. You know, did he break this? What was the exact question that you asked Cooks to set this up?
I said, like, hey, you kind of broke news with this Randall Cobb trade. Were you sitting on that for a long time? Like,
yeah.
When did you know to release it?
Right. And here's what Brandon Cooks had to say.
No, actually, to be honest with you, I saw it and then I tweeted, you know, go home and do your thing. So I was not sitting on that for a while. You have my honest truth. Yeah.
Okay. He kind of Southern belled it a little bit there.
He loosened up. He was very much at that point in, I'm not going to talk about Deshaun Watson.
He was the most staunch of anybody.
Yeah.
I'm not going to talk about
But I was curious because he was the, and I wonder if some, maybe players don't realize this sometimes. It's that Randall Cobb was the first guy to put it out there where people thought, okay, this sounds like more than just a theory or a rumor, and it must have happened already.
You mean Cook's putting it out
sorry,
there.
Sorry, yeah, what did I say? Yeah, Cook's putting it out there. If a player, I think when people assume that if a player tweets it, then it must they must have heard it from the
Done
player
deal.
Himself.
Yeah.
Where I think that Randall Cobb, I believe him. He was reading the reports and he thought, oh, there you go. But he, so he has that power. Maybe now he'll use it.
Yeah.
More aggressively.
Brandon Cooks. Yeah. So that was yesterday. Cooks met with the media. Nick Caserio is going to be sitting down with us out here at 7:30 at the bottom of the hour.
One of the things I want to ask Caserio in regards to that Randall Cobb trade is, okay, when you traded for Anthony Miller a few days earlier, was it about a week before yesterday?
Thereabouts.
They traded for Anthony Miller, who is a physically promising slot receiver from the Chicago Bears, who had a very good rookie season but then was very inconsistent after that. But I saw him out here yesterday. Hey, everybody, some actual football stuff here. Boy, he is athletic.
Yeah.
I mean, he is quick and crisp underneath. Like, he does everything that you want a slot receiver to do, but it's been untapped potential so far. So when they made that trade, was that with the knowledge or after they had already started talking to Green Bay about potentially trading Randall Cobb?
Right.
Because at that point, you know, Rodgers in the Green Bay front office had been talking. I don't think the Randall Cobb stuff, when Aaron Rodgers said publicly that, or when there were, report came out that Aaron Rodgers wanted Randall Cobb. I'm guessing he had been talking about that for some time.
Yeah.
So then that's where, if that's the way it went down, I'm going to be so happy that that feels like genuine general managing.
A lot of this
that,
has.
Yeah, like, okay. You know, there was started to be some preliminary talk about Randall Cobb. Maybe Caserio said, all right, well, we got to, you know, we're not 100% on QT. Let's get somebody else in here to compete, and we might end up with a nice little slot receiver.
The Cobb trade is just a classic good little trade. I mean, yeah. Nick Caserio walked into a situation with Randall Cobb where it's a bad contract given out by the former general manager. And he was able to flip Randall Cobb and open up cap space, actually get a draft pick for a player who's on his last legs, and open up playing time at a position where it's one of those positions, Seth, where they really need to evaluate these guys. Kiki QT and Anthony Miller are both in the last year of their deals. Like a lot of guys, they're sort of the equivalent of a lot of guys here in training camp. This whole training camp is guys in a contract year. We should be calling it camp contract year instead of Camp Caserio at times. You know, QT and Miller are really two of those guys who are looking to show enough to where the Texans might want to keep them around for longer than just 2021. And now you get to do that. You don't have to worry about having Randall Cobb on the field because his cap hit is $12 million or whatever it is.
Yeah.
You know? All right. Payne and Pendergast with you on a Thursday here, day two of Camp Caserio. Nick Caserio joins us at the bottom of the hour. We're going to be getting into a lot of the stuff Seth just talked about and I just talked about with Nick at the bottom of the hour. Speaking of Caserio, James Click, Rafael Stone, this is a huge, huge next 48 hours for sports in this city and for all three of these general managers. We'll discuss next.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
Payne and Pendergast with you live at Camp Caserio. It is Texans training camp. We're at the Houston Methodist Training Center. Practice gets underway almost exactly 2 hours from now. Day two of practice. Of course, you'll have John Harris, Mark Vandermeer taking over at 8 o'clock. John and Landry will be out here in the loop from 10 to 2. So this is a fun time of year, man. Training camp is here. Football is here. We're back to being out here again. That was the part I was most excited about yesterday. It starts to feel a little bit more normal. We're actually all out here. It's not just 10 people. It's nice.
It feels way more normal. If I were a player, I'd be if these practices weren't so much easier than they used to be, I'd be a little bit nervous about the fact that there's only three preseason games. Because, look, the players don't like preseason games, but they do break up the monotony.
Yeah.
Like, a preseason game is... I always liked it when preseason games began, because that's when you start doing more of, like, a normal in-season practice schedule instead of two-a-days every day. But now there are no two-a-days, so it probably doesn't affect them as much.
Now that you mention that, that's actually not a bad thing to ask Caserio. He probably needs preseason games more than any general manager in history, based on how many new guys are on this team.
Yeah, and it's...
like, if you tried to mix in 50 new guys with no preseason games last year,
it's
throwing darts.
It's hard, because preseason games... General managers, I think they get frustrated, because the problem with games is you can't control like how many situations or reps guys get necessarily.
Yeah.
You know, you might want to see a guy get a bunch of pass rushers, but it turns into a game where the opponent is running the ball every down because they're working on their run game or what have you. So the reps in practice, a lot of times, help you decide more than the game themselves. Now, one thing that everybody out here noticed, and I know damn well the players on the field noticed it because I watched their faces as they left the field. That was a long practice yesterday, which
you're not saying like, oh, this is a long day. Like, literally, it was like 45 minutes longer than any O'Brien
practice. It was like 2 hours and 45 minutes.
Yes,
wasn't
it was really long. Yeah.
Which for these days, generally, especially because what they know about hydration and whatnot, you don't see guys go way over 2 hours in the South in the NFL anymore.
Yeah.
So it was a long practice, and they weren't out here doing really tough stuff or anything. But I wonder if that'll change a little bit, because it reminded me of when Kubiak was here in his first year.
Yeah.
Look, Kubiak grew up in Houston, played at A&M. He's no stranger to playing football in the heat. But then he went off to San Francisco,
Denver,
spent a couple of decades there. And I remember the first year he was here, the first week was pretty tough. Like, it was actually, for a guy who had a reputation as having easier practice, we were out there a lot, and we were getting a lot of reps. And then all of a sudden, one day, I remember looking over at Kubiak, and he just looked like he was about to fall out. And then the drill started degrading and falling apart. Guys weren't lining up in the right spots and everything. He called everybody up. He was livid, furious. Kubiak was, you know, as angry as Kubiak gets.
Yeah.
And he gets pretty angry. And he told us what dirtbags we all were, and that's it. You know what? We're just going in. That's it. We're done. And we're kind of like, gosh, was he really mad, or did he just want to get the hell out of here?
Yeah.
And later in the team meeting, he was like, look, guys, it's hot as hell out here. Like, he just, and you forget. So Cully, you grew up in Tennessee, which is, you know, it's hotter than being up north, but it's not quite like Houston.
Yeah, he's been in Philly and Baltimore and Buffalo.
Yeah.
Like, he's going to learn.
Plus, you know, the whole thing in Tennessee is like when you're a high school player in Tennessee. Cully was probably the only literate guy on his high school team. So, like, he spent more of his time actually coaching and teaching kids how to get lined up and stuff than actually exerting himself.
Unbelievable.
So now he's down in Houston, and I guarantee you, like, within 4 days, the practices are less than 2 hours long when it's a hot day like
that. Or they'll be inside.
Yeah, they'll be inside, perhaps.
In the bubble, yeah. All right, so it's a big 48 hours here, Seth. I would say for all three general managers, you know, we know that the Rockets have the NBA draft tonight, and the Rockets have the second overall pick. The tea leaves seem to all say that the Rockets are going to use that second overall pick, and they're going to use it on Jalen Green. James Click has already made moves this week. I think James Click can reasonably drop the mic and say, this is what we've done. You know what? We were in the Scherzer sweepstakes. It got a little pricey. We'll see where Scherzer goes and for how much. The Nationals have a big COVID outbreak going on their team right now. I don't know how that affects Scherzer's ability to get moved. I don't know if he's one of the 12 people that tested positive or if he's contact traced. That's more of a short-term thing with Scherzer. Scherzer's probably going to get dealt here. I don't think he's going to be an Astro, but boy, if that was James Click's finishing move in all this, that would be huge. And then, do I think there's anything imminent with Deshaun Watson? Probably not in terms of moving him. But I think, Seth, I feel like at this point, every 48 hours is a big 48 hours for Nick Caserio. Which of these three GMs do you think has the biggest next couple of days? Or between now and Friday, which of the GMs is most under the microscope?
I think that, not that any of these guys necessarily feel this kind of
pressure.
Not
hot seat kind of
right.
stuff.
I think Click, I don't want this going to sound like I'm setting the bar too low, but at the very least, I think he's made enough moves now that people are happy that he's gone out and done something. Like, that he's addressed. I mean, there were times under Luno where it felt like, especially before they got good, where it felt like, oh, they just simply don't care. Like, they've got no sense of urgency or what have you. With So I think Click has done enough that the pressure isn't that great. I expect there to be maybe at least one more.
I'm happy with what he's done, and he can stop right now.
And it would kind of be the nice balance between worrying about the long term and you didn't give up any assets that you're tied to.
That's right.
It would be a pretty good move. So I think Rafael Stone, who probably has the most pressure and scrutiny and long-standing consequences of the next 24 hours, and yet we won't genuinely and really know if he made the right decision until we start seeing green on the court, if it is green.
All he has to do, I'm with you, I think what Stone needs to decide in the next 48 hours definitely has the biggest long-term ramifications for his team, unless Nick Caserio and the Texans do move to Deshaun Watson. And then that's obviously a big one, but I don't expect that to happen. But all Stone has to do, I don't know if there's that much pressure on him in the next 48 hours, because all he has to do is do what everybody expects him to do. And I think most Rocket fans are going to be fine. I don't think Rocket fans are mad at Rafael Stone that he's not giving up the sun and the moon to go get Cade Cunningham.
The pressure on Caserio, I suppose, would be, for one, if Deshaun were out here and got injured, like an actual injury, not just a tightened hamstring or something, then there's going to be a whole lot of scrutiny on the organization.
Yeah.
There's part of me that wonders, and honestly, this could go 400 different ways, but as I was playing that on my mind, like, okay, what if Deshaun got genuinely injured out here doing a drill or something? In some respects, some teams that are thinking about trading for Deshaun Watson might look at that as a positive. If he were to have an injury that were going to keep him out for the whole year, then you can kind of, like, there's no worrying necessarily. Then you're almost hoping that whatever suspension there is doled out in that first year anyway.
You're hoping.
Because you're trading for, like, a Kevin Durant situation.
Yeah.
There, where you're trading for a guy, you know he's not going to be available for a year anyway. Maybe the legal situation gets sorted out in the meantime. And you can almost, when by the time Deshaun Watson is healthy, you know how these things go. If the cases have been settled out of court and whatnot, and he's in a new city, there's probably not nearly as much scrutiny on that team, you know, next spring as there would be if they were to do it in the heat of everything.
Yeah, man, that's going to be interesting. Do you think it'll be as awkward today as it was yesterday? Or does the awkwardness increase or decrease as it goes day by day?
I think it increases a little bit, because yesterday, just over the course of a 2.5-hour period, I went from watching and saying, all right, if I'm being truly impartial here, I don't think I would have noticed that anything was different. But that was when everybody was going through individual drills. As they progressed on into the team drills, that's when it felt very odd and very obvious.
Yeah.
And that's where, like, Deshaun wasn't acting. He didn't have negative body language. He just wasn't as animated and as engaged,
it wasn't
Deshaun
as
he normally
language.
Would be, right? So it didn't stick out like a sore thumb, but it became more and more obvious as practice progressed. So I would guess that it'll probably be like that as we progress from day to day.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting. Day two, Camp Caserio out here, Texans training camp at the Houston Methodist Training Center. We will be joined in the next segment live out here by Nick Caserio, and we will get his thoughts on day one of the practice, the Randall Cobb trade, and a whole lot more with Nick Caserio, Texans general manager, live here out at Camp Caserio, Texans training camp, Houston Methodist Training Center. It's Payne and Pendergast. Stay there. Nick Caserio is next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Live from the Twin Peaks studios, Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
All right, it is Payne and Pendergast live out at Texans training camp. We've been calling it Camp Casario, so it's appropriate right now that we bring in the Texans general manager, Nick Casario, joining us here on day two of Texans training camp. Nick, it's great to see you.
Good morning. Not sure who came up with that moniker, but yeah, we'll have some fun with that.
Yeah.
I guess, yeah, we should point out that it's not the team that, it's not like the team putting out PR statements or anything.
No.
It's alliteration. It's,
yeah.
Yeah.
If your last name began with any other letter, it would be called something else.
Honestly, I think when they were having the discussions about that, the big thing is that, okay, one of the most notable things about the Texans so far, aside from all the other stuff that we'll get to, is just the sheer volume of transactions. There have been so many transactions,
yeah.
It's been kind of a blur.
Yeah. And we appreciate the shout out yesterday, too, by the way.
I know I created more work for you guys.
That's all right.
You got enough to talk about between the draft and the Astros and everything else. But
yep.
Happy to talk some football.
Well, good, man. Well, we appreciate you sitting down with us. Let's start with the most recent news with the Randall Cobb trade yesterday. We've been kind of breaking it down this morning, and there's obviously, you know, several things that you guys benefit from. What was the main thing that you felt was best for you guys doing that deal?
Yeah, it's a good question. Again, with any sort of trade, there's always a lot of moving parts and there's a lot of information that goes into it. So, again, as we from the beginning to where we are now, each individual transaction, we just try to go through, think it through, and just figure out what makes the most sense for us from an organizational standpoint. I would say, you know, relative to Randall, I personally have a lot of respect for him. Matter of fact, I actually worked him out coming out of Kentucky, you know, on campus. So, I mean, had a good relationship, you know, going back a long ways. And he's, you know, he's been a good player in this league. He's a great person. He's a good teammate. You know, again, it's always hard when you have players like that, you know, on your team. And you just try to go through the information and just try to figure out what makes sense. And then relative to a trade, how it gets consummated, you know, you have to have a corresponding party and if there's an interest. And then, again, make a decision. Hey, you know what? We're going to do this. Here's why. And then make the decision and ultimately just have to move forward. And that's, you know, what we're going to try to do.
Now, several days beforehand, you had traded for Anthony Miller, promising young slot receiver out of Chicago. Were you aware of the possibility of a Randall Cobb trade at that point? Was that all related?
It's a good question. I would say not necessarily. So, again, I think each transaction is kind of independent of itself. It's kind of an independent entity. So, again, it might look like on the surface that there was, you know, rationale behind it to some degree, and that was the reason we did it. Again, that's not necessarily the case. So, again, however a player gets on the team, let's get them on the team. And then let's look where we are, assess the information. And then, again, it's day-to-day. Things are, I would say, this league, and as you know this, it's constantly changing and evolving, so you can't get too bogged down. Again, make a decision. Here's what we're going to do, and then move forward.
How particularly beneficial is it for you guys that we're back to a normal training camp? Given even you and Coach Culley both pointed out a few times yesterday how many new faces that you guys have, that now you're back to having some preseason games where you can evaluate these guys. How important is that for this for the Texans in particular to have it back to a normal preseason
again? Sure, it's a good question. Training camp in and of itself, there's a lot of things that go into it. It's an evaluation period for your team because you really have to assess what do you really have. Because OTAs, you can kind of get a barometer or a baseline like of, all right, here's where we think this player is. But again, the spring, you have some limitations. And again, you play football and pads and helmets and all that. So we'll be able to assess that more once we get into the training camp setting. And with a number of new players who haven't played in our system and been here, this is where the evaluation comes in. And again, it's a day-to-day evaluation. It's not going to be about what a guy does on one particular day. I would just say this, Seth, you know this, like anybody can make a play on a day and look good and, hey, this guy had a good day, this guy had a bad day. But the key is, can they stack them up repetitively over the course of X number of weeks? Because that's what the season is. You're looking for consistency day-to-day, week-to-week, understanding that opponents are going to change, there's different dynamics that are involved. So this is our chance in a kind of 3 to 4 week period to see what we have. And again, talked a little bit about this yesterday as well. It's 53 players, but it's really 70. So, you know, you have to go from 89, 90, wherever we are, to 53 to get the roster set. But then with the increase in practice squads, let's assume, I think it's going to be 16 players. So we're going to have 68, 70 players in the building. And quite frankly, at any point, any of those players could be on the field on a Sunday ready to play. So, again, you boil it down, it's, you know, we're going to have more than 53 players in our building. Yeah. And we just want to make sure we have the right 53 on the roster. And some of this is going to be, how do we get who where? what makes the most sense. And some of that is a little bit later in training camp once you go through the cutdown.
Look, I know you guys are being very careful in how you answer any questions about Deshaun in that situation. But you got to acknowledge this is an atypical situation right here we have in training camp. Like this has got to be one of the weirder situations you've had in a camp in your last 20 years in the NFL.
I'd say I've seen a lot in 20 some odd years.
If you can get out of this by telling us a story about New England. I won't ask you another Deshaun question as long as you give me like dish on New England. What about that SI story from a few years ago?
I don't think I'm going to do that. But again, I'd say, quite frankly, Seth, and being truthful, nothing really surprises me in the NFL. I think that's the one thing I've learned. You kind of have to expect anything and just be prepared to act accordingly and respond accordingly and just ultimately just try to make good decisions and do the right thing at the present time. I think that's the most important thing for us to do.
Nick Caserio, Texans general manager, joining us here on Sports Radio 610. How would you say Tyrod Taylor's been handling the totality of the situation right now?
Yeah, I would say generally speaking, our players have done a good job of just handling the things that they can control and focusing on their performance, because ultimately what they do on the field, how they play, what they do, how they learn the system, how they absorb the information, that's going to be more important for them than anything else. And I think it's important. And our players, again, I think have done a really good job of understanding that and just trying to focus on the things that they can control.
How is the offense with Tim Kelly remaining here, you know, but with Pep Hamilton and other experienced coaches coming in? Has there been a lot of change in terminology? How do you massage all that and work that into the offense?
It's a good question. You try to, I'd say year to year, you're making changes and modifications to your system regardless of who's back, what new coaches you have, what you have in place. So, again, there's a lot of smart teams, a lot of smart coaches out there. During the offseason, everybody's evaluating what you're doing, ourselves included. So if there's an adjustment we can make to a blocking scheme or bring some things from a run game standpoint, maybe make something look similar or look different than maybe what it was previously, again, we'll introduce that or talk about that. But ultimately, we just got to figure out, like, what do we do well? And again, at this point, we don't really know that, and we'll get more information here as we go, because again, some of this is going to be personnel driven, you know, based on your groups, who can do what, you know, what maybe this guy can in this role is a little bit better. So again, we're going to find more about that, those types of things, but as we go. But relative to like Pep and Tim, this is the first time they've worked together. I think they're working well together. Communication's good, and there might be some ideas that Pep has. Hey, you know, what do you think about this? Same thing with James Campen. I think that's the one thing about our staff offensively. They're able to communicate effectively, which, you know, regardless of the scheme and the play and what you're doing, that's the most important thing.
Nick Caserio joining us on Sports Radio 610. Nick, you have a lot of guys here on short-term contracts. We know that. Do you have a specific goal in mind, I guess maybe beyond 2021, in terms of the number of guys that you brought in here on a short term that might eventually become guys that you can see as foundational as I guess you can get in the NFL, as much turnover as there's? Did you have specific numbers in mind when you entered this offseason?
It's a good question. I would say not necessarily. Again, each year you're going to bring players onto the roster. I mean, that's just natural course of action. And then once they're here, then you're looking at everything in totality, right? It's their performance on the field. It's their attitude. It's their effort. It's their consistency day to day. You know, how do they handle coaching? What do they do in the weight room? How do they work with their teammates? Again, so it's not one thing. I think we get caught up in, well, it's just about the player on the field, this and that. But there's so much more that goes into it. And we have to learn that as we go. Again, I mean, look, it's just no mystery. Like, we have a lot of new faces and we have a lot of new players. And we have to do a good job of assessing the information properly so we can make those decisions, Sean, when the time is appropriate.
Nick, just one quick follow-up. Just in thinking about that, with previous general managers here, there was a staunch rule about we're not going to do contract during the regular season. When the regular season rolls around, that's it. And I know those philosophies vary around the league. You haven't had a regular season as a general manager yet. Are you someone that would look at doing deals during the season, or do you have a rule in mind about that?
I would say for us, and organizationally, for me personally, maintaining flexibility. Again, you don't really want to pigeonhole anything. Again, part of that is if you're doing something with a player, how does that affect the individual player and their mindset? You know, some people have no issues with that. Some people are not comfortable with that. So again, there's a little bit of give and take, but I think maintaining flexibility is important and not being so you know, pigeonholed by, well, we're only going to do this. Because then you start to set hard and fast rules, and then things change, and then it's, wait a minute, I thought, you know. Being open-minded, having flexibility, but also being smart about it, I think, is how we'll try to approach it.
When there's an ongoing investigation of one of your players, do you get any guidance or instruction from the league? Are you having to check into the league on any of this?
It's a good question, Seth. I would say we obtain information along the way. I think the NFL has done a great job. We've cooperated with everybody involved, cooperated with the league. They've cooperated with us. And, you know, I think the communication between ourselves and the league has been good. So, again, we can only go off of what we have. We can't just start to speculate and, you know, what about this, what about that? Do you have to start to make some contingency plans at some point? Possibly. But, again, the NFL has done a good job, I would say, generally speaking, you know, communicating with clubs as information is relevant.
Well, and you're, you know, I've watched you at the Sloan Conference, and I know you're an analytics. We've talked a little bit about analytics, you know, and a lot of analytics is going back and looking at previous situations and trying to figure out how you can predict the current situation. With the current situation with Deshaun Watson and everything surrounding it, there really isn't a lot you can go back to look, right? I mean, these are one of the says the world is falling apart.
Fall.
On top
fan. It's just a fan.
All is well.
Is there, I mean, you don't really have a lot of precedent to guide you. This is a pretty unique situation.
Again, each case treated as its own entity, and you try to take the information as it comes and just try to process it. Again, you don't want to start to get in a bunch of comparisons about this is similar to this, this is similar to that. Again, we can't make it up. That's all we can do is live in the present, live in real time, and just take the information, try to process it, and just try to make good decisions along the way.
Nick Caserio, Texans general manager, joining us on Sports Radio 610. I guess just philosophically, or maybe just looking at the league from another standpoint, Nick, we see more and more star players wanting to have input. Aaron Rodgers had a press conference yesterday where he went on a long diatribe about input that he had hoped to have. And the comparison is people are looking at it and going, boy, the NFL is becoming a lot more like the NBA nowadays. What are your feelings on that?
Yeah, it's a good question. I would say sports, generally speaking, just this is my belief, sports is still a people business, right? So it's about communication. It's about relationships. And there's going to be a certain level of give and take. But I think each party has to be respectful of the opposite side. And as long as you have a open line of communication, again, there's going to be some things from a club standpoint a player not agree with. I mean, that's okay. There might be some things from a club standpoint that you don't necessarily agree with from a player standpoint. So, again, I think it's just trying to be open, trying to be honest, trying to be transparent and authentic with the communication, understanding that there might be times we can agree to disagree. Again, be disciplined, you know, have some parameters, but, you know, maybe it's not about being hard and fast rules and, you know, you really don't want to make it into any sort of confrontation. I mean, look, business, and I would say football is a business, right? It's business is hard. So, again, there's going to be some tough situations that everybody's going to have to deal with, but if you can handle it in a respectful manner, I don't want to speak for a player, but I think they appreciate that, even if you maybe have a disagreement about a contract or whatever it may be. But as long as you're consistent and honest with your communication, again, I personally believe that's the best way to handle it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Nick Caserio joining us on Sports Radio 610. Before we get you out of here, I know players often talk about their welcome to the NFL moment as a player. You know, now I realize, have you had a welcome to being a GM moment so far, being a general manager of a team?
It's like 24 hours into it.
I was going to say probably the day I took over.
Yeah, there you go. Okay.
Again, I mean, I'd say just from the beginning, it's been an exciting experience.
Yeah.
And again, I think your expectations you don't really have any expectations other than you're excited for the opportunity.
Yeah.
And you just want to try to do the best job you can for everybody involved. So I think that's how I've tried to handle it.
Have you had a welcome to being a Houstonian moment?
I mean, other than getting blown up on a barbecue comment.
I mean,
that was more self-induced more than
have you tried some barbecue around town yet?
I have not.
Okay.
Unfortunately, I'm pretty disciplined.
There are lean meats.
But I suppose if we found the best barbecue in Houston and said, okay, I'm going to eat a bucket of ribs for X number of dollars.
I
want
to see you try to pick the fat out of a brisket.
I'm pretty strict and disciplined with my approach on a day-to-day basis.
What's your workout schedule?
You eat the same thing every day, don't you?
Yes, I do.
Yeah.
I'm pretty consistent. I'm pretty regimented, pretty disciplined. I would say I'm a kind of a 5 to 6 day a week guy between full body, Peloton. We have the VersaClimber in our weight room, which I love. I don't know if I can say this on the air. It's a pain in the ass for a lot of people, but I love it. So I enjoy working out. Quite frankly, it's a great just sort of release. Just let your mind kind of have 30 to 45 minutes to unwind. And I'm a big believer in just sound mind, sound body principles, and I've tried to instill that into my life. And again, everybody has to find what works for them. And again, that's kind of how I just try to approach it.
That was one of the biggest things for me when I was done playing football, where you have to make that transition into like understanding that like people actually exercise for enjoyment, you know, and that it actually like the mental like what I noticed is when I stopped exercising, my mental abilities and like mental health just fell apart.
Yeah.
So just for your own, like literally for your sanity.
Well, I think that you're making a great point, because I'd say even present time, like the whole health, mental health, and wellness is relevant. And I think, you know, not to comment on what's going on with Simone, but I think, you know, there's been a lot of commentary about that, but I have a tremendous amount of respect for people and athletes that can do that and feel comfortable about their situation and say, you know what, this is where I'm at, and we need to support them. And it's okay to say, you know what, I mean, this is hard. I mean, look, being an athlete, there's a lot of pressure that goes into it, and there's expectations. And to be able to understand, like, you're a human being first and foremost, and understand you need to take care of yourself, because if you can take care of yourself, then it's going to be a lot easier to apply your craft, whatever you're doing on the field. So I would just say, relative to her situation, tremendous amount of admiration and respect for what she is an athlete, but even as a person, to be able to come forward like that and acknowledge that, I think that says a lot.
Really important for NFL teams, I'd imagine, to have resources for that type of stuff as well for guys, right?
Absolutely. Yeah. And we have those in place, and we let the players know that this is here for you if you need it, and it's okay.
Yeah.
Like all of us at some point may need that, and it's okay. I mean, that's why we have those people in place. So, again, not to go off on a big discussion mental health, but I think it's important for all of us to not lose sight of that.
Nick Caserio, Texans general manager, joining us here on Sports Radio 610. Nick, we know you're super busy. We really appreciate you taking a few minutes to sit down with us, and I certainly look forward to doing it again with you. Looking forward to practice out here in day two and getting going with some more football.
See if you can get Cully to shorten it up a little bit.
Yeah.
That was long out there. I was impressed that actually everybody kept their focus. Like, it was is the heat been a shock to you at all? I mean, I'm even out here working out and everything.
It's definitely warmer. But again, I mean, I think throughout the country, humidity. I mean, everybody says Texas heat's a little bit different. So you just have to, your body sort of has to adjust to the environment.
I played in Jacksonville for 5 years. And when I came here in the expansion draft, everybody kept asking me, like, oh, hey, you ready for this heat? And I'm like, Jacksonville's the same latitude.
Yeah.
And then I got into about day three of training camp here, and I was thinking about retiring. And
it's not Ithaca, New York.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. So the headline out of this interview is basically going to be Texans general manager Caserio, Houston humidity, no big deal.
Yeah.
That's what I just heard. And that might get everybody worked up.
I'm sure
else.
It will.
That and barbecue, apparently.
Yeah.
Hey, Nick, we appreciate it, man.
Thanks for your time. Appreciate
all
you guys.
Thanks.
Yeah, thanks
appreciate
so much.
You. Yep. All right, that's Texans general manager Nick Caserio joining us here on Sports Radio 610 live out at Camp Caserio. All right, let's get to some headlines.
Payne and Pendergast with today's headlines, brought to you by BaywayJeep.com.
All right, we started off with Texans training camp. Day two of Texans training camp starting today at 9:15 will be practice. Yesterday was day one. Day one of the David Culley era as head coach, and day one with Deshaun Watson out here yesterday, Seth. And I think the big takeaway yesterday was that was not the Deshaun Watson that we've been used to seeing out at training camp yesterday. It looked the energy level maybe a little bit less, and certainly he was doing a lot less yesterday.
Yeah, he was, and obviously it became more apparent as practice went along. And, you know, in the beginning when it's individual drills, he was engaged in doing the drills. And then as practice went along, okay, there were three quarterbacks playing. Tyrod Taylor, Davis Mills and Jeff Driskel.
Do you have any takeaways on those quarterbacks, by the way? And you had a ton of notes. We haven't gotten to it because the drama seems to be what plays with people.
I was getting frustrated because I was watching Davis Mills. You know, Tyrod Taylor was practicing in front of us, which was nice because we got to see the guy who's presumably at this point the most likely guy to start. But I wanted to get a good look at Davis Mills. But every now they were practicing further down the field. And Davis Mills and Jeff Driskel were kind of rotating in and out at the same team drill. And every now and then I'd look down and I'd see a ball kind of get airmailed out through the back of the end zone or directly to a defensive back. And I'd say, damn it, is that Davis Mills? And then I'd be like, oh, nope, it's Jeff Driskel. Just another Jeff Driskel airmail. And he was not having an accurate day. And I think that's pretty much what people have seen at the OTAs as well.
Yeah. Mills, I thought I thought Mills looked pretty tight out there with the arm yesterday.
You know, you're looking out there in a non-contact drill, like very low intensity and all that. He looked like he was in command. You know, he didn't look like he was lost. You didn't see him botching snaps or anything like that. It looked like he was making a few checks at the line of scrimmage. So he's obviously a bright guy who went to Stanford. That doesn't always translate onto the football field. He's also inexperienced. So far, so good on the Davis Mills front. He's a big dude. Like he looks like what you used to think of as a big, strapping, athletic quarterback. You know, like now it's all changed because of guys like Lamar Jackson and what have you. But he's not slow. He's not fast. He's fit and lean enough, and he looks like he has a good command so far for a rookie.
I wonder what it is over a 17-game regular season. What would we need to see? If you were Nick Caserio, what would you need to see from Davis Mills to keep from using the first-round pick on a quarterback next year?
Oh, gosh. I mean, he'd have to get some serious time, and then I think
let's pretend he plays half the season like we all think he might.
You know, one of the most telling and consistent stats in evaluating quarterbacks is how well do they do from a clean pocket.
Yeah.
Because it's tough sometimes if you're only watching a guy who's really good at improvising after the pocket breaks down. Well, okay, you can't always depend on that. Sometimes if a guy is under duress and they make some great plays, then it skews the stats a little. If you actually just sit and watch what does he do from a clean pocket, and is he making all the mental checks? Is he throwing accurately? All that stuff. It would have to be that. So I guess the only thing you can hope for is that, okay, I hope these improvements on the offensive line are real with the coaching and whatnot, too. So, how well does he do in a clean pocket when things are all right? And then the other part, too, is he athletic enough to make things happen when the play does break down? Because that's also a part of the modern game. It's not, you just can't be a Drew Bledsoe back there anymore. You got to have some level of athleticism.
Making a note to go look at the Texans' second half schedule and just see what defenses Davis Mills might be going against.
I thought maybe we were going to get actually a story out of Nick Caserio about New England for a second, but then I pushed too hard.
You were like a pushy salesperson.
I did. I know. I was like, I saw that look in his eyes. Like, I could tell you a story about New England. They would take some of the heat off of us. And then I was like, give it to me. Give it to me now.
You and I, but you asked that question. And when you asked that question, I'm like, well, yeah, dude was in New England. He's seen a lot. And then I, of course, asked him, when was your welcome to the GM moment? I'm thinking to myself, oh, that's right.
Yeah.
The trade rumor started the first day he showed up here.
That is something.
But he didn't answer. He said his first 24 hours.
A lot of coaches and general managers both will tell you, well, you know what? You go from that moment where you go from having ideas to having accountability.
Yeah.
And I was listening to a podcast where that's what Mike Tomlin used to say to Raheem Moore all the time, I guess, when Raheem Moore was a young assistant coach. Mm-hmm. It's like, you got all these ideas, but you got no accountability. It's easy to have these ideas when you don't have any accountability. When all of a sudden you're sitting in that chair as a head coach or a GM, it's all the accountability goes to you, and it's a whole different dynamic.
What are you looking for out here today, day two at Camp Caserio?
Okay, all Deshaun Watson things aside, I didn't really get a chance to watch a lot of the linemen yesterday. I was kind of trying to see, all right, what's going on with the linebackers? You know, I think Christian Kirksey and Zach Cunningham, I think, are perhaps going to be kind of interchangeable. You know, without getting into specifics about positions and everything, I think either of those guys could play the Mike or the Will linebacker. And those two guys specifically are going to be really important in Lovie Smith's scheme. So I want to zero in on them a little bit more and watch the offensive and defensive line. Even though they're not wearing pads, you can start to get a feel for how these guys move athletically.
Yeah, some of them you get a feel for body type, man. Yeah. Some of these guys are pretty you can tell they've been putting in the work in the offseason.
Brandon Dunn, if I get a chance to talk to Brandon Dunn, he's got a big transition to make because he looks classically like a 3-4 defensive lineman, and now you're going to a 4-3. I think Brandon Dunn might have lost a couple of pounds or three, and he might be trying to be a little faster, a little bit more of an upfield guy. But there is a place. Every 4-3 defense does need a guy that can get in there and be a hog versus the run at times, so Dunn might be that guy.
Well, and he's got a contract that's very cuttable right now, too.
Yeah.
He was one of the not to the level of Cobb or some of the other deals that we saw, Whitney, but Brandon Dunn was a deal that I think at the time we go, wow, that's a lot of money for Brandon Dunn.
And I know most people listening don't give a damn about the interior defensive lineman. You do give a damn about this. Anthony Miller versus Kiki QT. Mm-hmm. That's one of the big camp battles to watch because Anthony Miller is the real deal athletically. As people in Chicago will tell you, man, when it's good, it's really good. He has flashed some real potential.
That's
at
a
times.
Big day one takeaway for you. That's multiple times now you've mentioned Anthony Miller. Yes.
I was just kind of like, okay, does this guy match the eyeball test?
Yeah.
Hell yeah. I mean, he's not a big dude, but he's like stout. He's kind of he's not overly muscular or anything because he's super fast. But when he's on these underneath routes, you want a guy, that little water bug looking guy,
yeah,
that looks like it'd be impossible for a slot corner to keep track of him. He's got that look to him athletically. Now it's just a matter of, you know, being the whole deal.
All right.
So Kiki QT, obviously, this is a big year for him, too.
Yep. He looked pretty good out here yesterday, Kiki QT. I mean, as much as you can get. Wide receiver is one of the positions, at least, because they're at least running routes against cornerbacks one-on-one and things like that.
If I didn't know anything about Tyrod Taylor and how he actually plays in games, yesterday would have made me a little bit nervous because he was not hesitating one bit to throw the ball into, like, minuscule windows. I'm like, what? Don't try to make that
when
throw,
he wasn't holding on to it for 18 seconds.
Yeah, I know. It didn't. I think that Tyrod, and this isn't, I'm not like lowering the bar or, you know, I think this is who Tyrod Taylor is, that without the running element, without designed quarterback runs to balance out and put some stress on the defense, if defenses can just sit back there and play coverage, that's not
it's
what Tyrod Taylor is going to win. So I think hopefully if Tyrod's going to be the guy for any amount of time, that you're going to have a designed quarterback run game with it.
Got a couple minutes left. Let's at least mix in the headlines when it comes to the other two teams in town, because it's a big night for the Rockets, and it's a big next couple days for the Houston Astros. Let's start with the Rockets tonight. I will remind people, Adam Spillane and I will be on starting 7 p.m. with the coverage of the NBA draft. Rockets number 2 overall pick. Seth, what do we expect by the end of the night? The Rockets have 2, 23, and 24 in this draft. When they leave the draft tonight, do they have 3 players drafted at 2, 23, and 24, or will Rafael Stone have done a little bit of maneuvering? Because there's a lot of rumors out there right now about an Eric Gordon deal that could have the Rockets moving up in the draft.
I think that at the end of this night, you are going to they'll take Green with the second overall pick.
I agree.
And then they will do an Eric Gordon and 2 first round package, or 2 first round pick type of package to move up and draft whoever the next mid first round Giannis Antetokounmpo is.
That would
basically
be nice.
That's all. NBD.
Yeah. Just, the next Kawhi Leonard.
Just give me a guy.
Donovan Mitchell.
Ethereal, physical talent that people have doubts about for various reasons.
Yep. All right. The Astros win yesterday afternoon over the Mariners. 11-4 was the final score. Probably the more important news is that James Click, as we got about a minute left, Seth, made another deal. Yimi Garcia, who's been the closer for the Miami Marlins. I think, you know, Kendall Graveland, calling him the closer for the Mariners, you know, he had 10 saves this year. He's been a great reliever. So I don't think it's a reach to say they picked up the equivalent of basically a closer from 2 other teams in the league. And now I think I saw it put best on Twitter by somebody where they said, well, you best outslug the Astros innings 1-6 because 7, 8, and 9 just got a whole lot
harder. Yeah, even though against the Mariners it's kind of been the opposite of like, hey, the yesterday, I got a little bit scared yesterday when the Mariners and
Toro hit the home run.
Toro comes in with a home run.
Toro's
when they started
a
comeback from another huge lead.
Yep.
But if there is, the question now becomes, okay, you're loading up with relievers. Who are the odd men out going to be?
Yeah. All right. He's Seth Payne. I'm Sean Pendergast, and we are done out here at Texans training camp. Camp Casario. If you missed the Nick Casario interview, that'll be up on the podcast, and I'm sure it'll be played throughout the day here on Sports Radio 610. We thank him for sitting down with us. Thank all of you for listening. John Harris and Mark Vandermeer are up next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and 3-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe.
Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.